that it's the spirit that gives life. That a particle, in order to form into a particle, has to come from a place that has no boundaries, no beginnings, no ends, no form to it. So that must be true for all of us. Everything that composes, decomposes. Emily Dickinson had made an observation. She said, holding up a handful of dirt, you can do this when you leave here, this quiet dust was gentlemen and ladies and lads and girls, was laughter and ability and sighing and frocks and curls. That the thing that we are comprised of, someday down the road, when all of this crew has left and a new crew has taken over, someone will hold up a handful of dust that was you and say, this quiet dust was gentlemen and ladies and lads and girls, was laughter and ability and sighing and frocks and curls. Everything that composes decomposes. And getting ourselves to an awareness that who we are is not that which composes, but who we truly are is that which is the source of all. And living from that source, almost as if we could have an understanding of what that source was like, as if we could see it, if we could be a part of it, this thing that we've come to call spirit, and just match up all of our thoughts and all of our feelings and all of our behaviors as if they were thoughts of God, which they are. Another one of the quotes that I've researched and used putting this program together and in writing inspiration is from Jesus. I love this. Let me have the glory with thee that I had with thee even before the beginning. Let me have the glory with thee that I had with thee even before the beginning. That is, here I am now, in this body and in this form, going through my life, going to work, driving my car, coming home, taking care of business, filling out my tax forms, all of the things that I do, all right? And here is Jesus asking, let me have the glory now, here with thee, that I had with you even before I began, suggesting that there was a time when I was with the Father, with God, with spirit, with soul, with consciousness, with divine mind, with whatever you want to call it. There was a time that I was there. Let me get that now. Let me be like that in this present moment of my life, in the activity that I have. Let me be in spirit while I'm here in form. And by asking to do that, there's a recognition that there is something that is available to us that creates for us what I call the power of the source. And the power of the source is a magnificent power. It's something that I examine all the time. It's something that I play with. It's something that I'm intrigued by. It's something that I meditate to. I was doing it today here at Miraval, walking out in the back, which you'll get to know, this beautiful land out there. And there were 1,000 honeybees on one little plant. There were at least 1,000 on one plant with the little blooms in the morning. And I had just read a book recently called The Secret Life of Bees, Susan Monk Kidd, wonderful book. And in there, there's a line, just one simple line that I still, just thinking off the top of my head as I'm speaking about it, where she said, these creatures are so astonishing because they take flower juice and turn it into ambrosia. How do they do that? How does a bee go to a flower, take the juice out, keep it inside of it, go back to its home, spit it out, and give us something called honey? what a miracle. It's like the ability to just be in a state of just divine bliss. And you walk a little further and you'll see a cactus out there, and you'll see something that grows right out of the center of the cactus, and it'll grow 8 feet up in the air. And there are times that you can actually watch this thing grow. That's how fast it happens. What Rumi said, sell your cleverness and purchase bewilderment. You get into this place of bewilderment where everything is a miracle. Everything that you observe, everything that you notice, there's no place that it's not. There's no place that this source is not, that this spirit is not. And all I'm asking is to be in it, to be in that spirit, which means to be inspired. And when that happens, I swear that I have the capacity to be able to do anything that my source can do. I mean, it just almost seems as if someone is around me and they're sick, that I just know that I can help them to elevate themselves out of that sickness. If I see someone around me who doesn't have the funds to be able to do what they want to do, that there's something within me that can help them to elevate their awareness to a place where they can attract the abundance that they need. Just a knowing. It's something I've lived with my entire life. I've always sort of just known. I mean, I lived in a series of foster homes and orphanages when I was a kid, and I remember the day that I decided that I was going to be rich. And I started that day. It was when I found out that soda pop bottles were worth 2 cents. That was like greatest revelation I'd ever heard of. I was 5 years old or 6 years old, and you could get 2 cents. Now, 2 cents may not sound like a lot now, but that's about $40, you know, in today's money, right? When I'm talking about back in the 40s. And I used to follow people around who were drinking a soda pop. Like I'd see someone drinking a Coca-Cola, and I'd just stand there, and I was cute, this cute little kid with... I had curly little hair. It's hard to imagine, but I had curly little locks, and I could stand there and just say to them, "You almost through with that?" And they would say, "What are you talking about?" I'd say, "Well, whenever you're finished, I'll just take that bottle off of your hands." And I used to collect them wherever I would go, whenever I would see them. And it was and then I discovered that snow falling down was a way to attract abundance in my life. Just snow coming out of the air and onto the ground was, for so many people, it was, oh no, it's snowing, and all of the things that meant back in Michigan in those days. But for me, this little kid living in an orphanage, that was the snow shovel. That was getting up in the morning before anybody else. That was hiding the snow shovel so nobody else in the house could get it before I did, the good snow shovel, and taking that snow shovel out. And I learned not to knock on people's doors and ask them if they want their snow shovel. They could say no. Just go shovel it and then come back, you know, with your best little Oliver routine, you know, with your mittens with the holes in them. Don't use the good ones, yeah. So it was like that kind of awareness. And, you know, I've attracted abundance into my life as long as I can remember. I remember being interviewed in Chicago, and this woman asked me, she said, "Don't you feel bad making money off of other people's problems?" And I said, "You know, I really would, but it's not my fault." She said, "What do you mean it's not your fault?" I said, "People just send money to me. They just give it to me. They just want me to have it. It's like it's just something that I've continued to attract." Well, she said, "Well, how would you explain that?" I said, "Because I've always believed that I was entitled to it, and I've also always believed that I was connected to it, and I've never saw shortages ever in my life. It's just, I've never seen unemployment. I've never looked at the world from a perspective of who's in political office determines anything about me, or what's going on in the world has anything to do with it. That this is an abundant world, and I've always seen myself that way. And because I have, it just keeps coming to me and showing up for me, and I just keep circulating it and circulating it." It's like getting yourself to this place where you're connected to spirit, so connected. Spirit is unlimited abundance. It's unlimited. It doesn't say there's only so much air out there, there's only so much, and money is just another symbol of abundance. It's just a symbol of abundance. And if you don't get it, somebody else will. And why not just believe that it's going to come to you? And if you believe that it'll come to you, as you'll see later on in this program, you'll start acting on that belief. And acting on that belief means you go out and shovel the snow, or you go down to the grocery store and you carry out somebody's groceries for them, or you go and collect the soda pop bottles and you take them back, and you find yourself acting on what you know you can have rather than on what you believe isn't available to you. That's what inspiration is. That's how it works. I have a couple of other observations, quotes, I'd like to say here at the beginning.